welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible gentlemen. I have with me Mo Amir and Scott Jones. Hello, friends.
Hey, Kathy. Hey, Scott.
Hello, friends. How are you?
Doing absolutely great. Let's get this thing started. Mo, I would love to learn where people can find you on the internet.
They can find me many places, but the main place I'd like them to go is my podcast, This is Van Culler. I call it the Bonafide Vancouver Culture and Politics Podcast. That's Vancouver, BC, Canada. And basically what I do is I try to parse through the relevant cultural issues happening in our city and in our province and in our country to a larger extent. And I'll have, you know, try to bring in big guests from around the province. That's included premiers, politicians, entertainers, all sorts of people, experts in their field. And some episodes are super light and fun, and some episodes are very informative. But regardless of the episode, I try to make it where you can, as a listener, dive in not knowing anything about the subject, and hopefully you'll come out of it learning a lot.
I love that premise. I do have a clarification question. Can you reach the podcast by spelling Culler the American way?
No, you got to spell it the Canadian way with the U. It is a Canadian podcast. It's very regional, but it's taken off. So I do hope you check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love that you're standing strong with the Canadian spelling. That's great. All right, Scott, what about you? Where can people find you?
You can find pretty much everything at scottkentjones.com. But I've right now I have like several podcasts I do. One is a long form kind of interview conversational show called Give and Take, where I get, you know, authors, pundits, scholars, artists, all sorts of folks on. It's sort of like NPR meets a little bit of Howard Stern. And that's a super fun show that I've been doing for, I think I'm getting close to episode 250 on that. And then I do a couple other ones. I do one called The Atlas Project with a friend who's a political scientist from London. And I just started doing another one called Dream Big with Big Dreamers. So actually, I have a friend who does like a LinkedIn makeover business. And so we kind of interview her clients that are doing all sort of executive coaching and all sort of interesting things in the business world. And there's one other one I'm doing called Laughing, Learning, or Learning, Laughing, and Loving. And I do it with a guy named Evan Money because we were trying to figure out what was the secret sauce on Give and Take and why people seem to like it. I said, well, I guess it's just like there's an educational, intellectual component to it. There's also, you know, it's funny. You know, it can be pretty playful. But there's also a sense of human connection that tends to happen with guests that guests usually really appreciate. So that's kind of, so those are like the four podcasts I'm doing right now. I also do like some consulting stuff. Like if people want to hire somebody for production or things like that, I do freelance stuff like that.
Fantastic. So clearly you have nothing to keep you busy during the day.
No,
I'm hoping to really dive into, you know, how you fill your boring schedule.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I am just absolutely, I'm counting sheep all day.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, let's roll back into the past a little bit. And I'd love to learn how you both started listening to podcasts and what were some of the first podcasts that you found?
So interestingly enough, my podcast, This is Van Culler, I should have mentioned, is also a long form conversation, similar to Scott's Give and Take podcast. And also very similar to Scott, it wasn't necessarily a podcast that I found, but it was Howard Stern. When I bought a car in 2012, it came with Sirius XM. And one of the main channels that they promote is the Howard Stern channel. And I've heard talk radio. I like talk radio. But he was the first guy that was really doing long form interviews, at least for me. And I really love that format. And I'm also a big UFC fan. And one of my favorite fighters is a guy by the name of Chael Sonnen. And I found out that Chael Sonnen did an interview with Joe Rogan that was like 3 hours long. And it blew my mind. Like I didn't realize that people were doing that. And then of course that was the Joe Rogan Experience and my first entry into that podcast. I fell in love with the medium. I love it during my commutes. And when I found that, that's sort of when I started thinking, okay, well, maybe I could do this on my own and do it like a regional thing for Vancouver. And I just found that people were super accessible. Some people get super turned off by the idea of like an hour interview. But again, similar to what Scott said, is sometimes you get in that room with someone who is locally famous and you find them opening up, and it ends up being this like emotional journey in a lot of ways. And they teach you about the issues that are important to them. But they also show you another side that you're not getting on the 5-minute talk radio clip or the 2-minute TV hit. So that's really how I fell in love with the format and the medium.
I love that. I love that you latched onto the specific style of that long form podcast and were just like, yes, that is my jam. Let's do it. That's great. All right, Scott, what about you? What got you started listening?
Yeah, I'm similar. I've been a Howard Stern fan like as long as I can remember, like since I was in like high school or whatever. And he is the best interviewer in media, and he's only gotten better. And I think that it's part of what connects to the podcast form. You know, when he was on terrestrial radio, the show was always being broken up in 20-minute segments with commercial breaks, right? And when he got into Sirius, it wasn't that he'd be more obscene or do, you know, crazier things. It was that if Stephen Colbert or Conan O'Brien comes in, they can go for 75 minutes without breaks, like if the chemistry's there, which is the same kind of magic, I think, in the podcast format. But I was listening to podcasts like years and years ago. Like I'm sure it was pre-2008. I remember when you had – when there were no smartphones and I had to take my iPod and sync it up in iTunes and get all the podcasts I wanted synced up, right? Like, so you didn't, and now, I mean, it totally changed the game when you could just stream them right to your phone, right? Where you didn't have to like sync up with iTunes and get out. But I remember just loving the medium. And I think one of the first shows I regularly listened to was like, well, there are two. There's one that was called This Week in Tech, which is still going on. And there's another one out of Berkeley, I think, called Entitled Opinions, which is a guy at Stanford, who just interviews like, he teaches romance literature or something and just interviews all sorts of scholars, philosophers, literary theorists and stuff. So I kind of was hooked on the medium, you know, once I figured out what it was and have since been an avid podcast consumer and then eventually became like a podcast creator, as they say.
Well, we will hop into the creation of it with my next question, which is what made you want to start getting a microphone in your face? So let's just hop right in there.
Yeah, it was – people don't believe me when I say this. I actually had a dream that I was hosting a podcast, and I kid you not, literally that week – I just started looking into, okay, where can I rent a studio? How, you know, what does my network look like in terms of how I can get guests? How am I going to do this? And I just hit the ground running because I knew it was one of those things that if I put on the back burner, I would never do. And if I started questioning why I'm doing it, I would never do it. So I just turned that side of my brain off and just looked at, okay, how do I create this? And that's really the truth of it. I love my city. I love Vancouver. I have always had an interest in things like politics, stand-up comedy, just general societal issues and people talking about them and giving you different perspectives. So I thought I could bring in a lot of passion. And I hope that that's what is conveyed in my podcasts. But it was literally a dream. And I just said, why not? And went from there.
I love it. I love that you were able to find something that you were so passionate about. Something that's so special about podcasts is because it is so ultimately it's fairly easy to start one. Finding something that you're passionate about and being able to talk about it makes it so that there's such a wide range of options available, and you can talk about the city of Vancouver and be really passionate about it and have people come on your podcast and share it around. And who would have thought, you know, 5-10 years ago that that's something that you could do?
Yeah, it's incredible. Like there is, as I alluded to earlier, I think what makes podcasts so magical is that there can be this emotional connection with podcasts. It's not just someone reading the news flat line or anything like that. There is, like, you get used to the characters, or even in a narrative podcast, you know, they're creating a certain environment that hooks you in. That is a very much an emotional experience. And it's just auditory, right? Like, so that's what I try to recreate. That's kind of what got me into it. And that's what's kept me passionate, is both the issues that I end up talking about, but then also this idea of creating this experience for the listener. It's quite addictive. So
I love it. It's so intimate, this medium, and it's super special. I love it. Of the four podcasts that you currently have going, was one of those the first ones, or did you start with something else?
I actually have done a few other ones that I've stopped doing since then. The first one was a friend of mine. I'm also like a minister and an academic. Like, I've been to seminary and I did PhD work in Princeton. And I had a minister friend who we're both interested in culture and politics and spirituality and stuff. And he's like, why don't we do a podcast together? And I said, that's not a bad idea. And that was like the first one. It was kind of the artisan hobby kind of, you know, get out of the gate. And I found I loved the process. I loved the tech end of it. It was like some people like tinkering in a wood shop. Like, I loved like microphones, and I came to love like the audio. Like, I built my own makeshift studio in my house, where I had like, you know, I built a fake drop ceiling with foam on it, and I had curtains. I mean, it's like it wasn't soundproof. Like, if you had a lawnmower right next to the window, you might hear a little bit, but it was as close to soundproof as I could get. And from there, I got hired to do a podcast for an organization and that podcast had a pretty good traction. And I found out I love doing interviews, which I didn't know I would love doing. And I'm a pretty fast reader. And so like I had the ability to kind of consume a lot of material, connect with it emotionally, and then get engaged conversationally. And so that has been led into other, and a lot of times the other podcast projects, at least two of them have been former guests who, you know, some guests I'll never talk to again. Some guests have become really close friends and colleagues and collaborators.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I don't have to pay for books anymore, which is nice. I get a lot of books I have to sadly throw out because I'm at the point now where I don't go pitch many guests anymore. Like, most of the time I'm getting pitched by like Penguin Random House or something, or their publicists and stuff, which is fun. So I generally don't have to do as much work getting guests anymore, because usually folks are coming with pitches to me, which is great.
That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. That means that you've clearly found like an area that speaks to both sides of the listeners and the people that you're interviewing, which is wonderful. And I guess you're doing a good job.
Thought if you read the book, let's say it's an author, if you actually read the book and think about it, you're light years ahead of most interviewers.
Right.
Which sounds pathetic, but it's true.
It's so funny because with this show in particular, because both of you are meeting each other for the first time, and then I'm usually meeting both of you, I actually tend to go in cold. So I haven't listened to either of your podcasts before. My scheduler, Vanessa, does the listening. And so it's really fun to get to hear how excited you are about your podcast. And then I get to go listen to it and hear the excitement there, which is basically the opposite of what you do, Scott, in that I do no homework and then come in, and then I do my homework after the show.
I like that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's really fun. And what else is fun is my next question, which is going to be a quick and easy one. If you were to hit play on your podcast app of choice, what podcast episode would start?
Oh, God, I am so basic on this. It would be the Joe Rogan Experience. it might by chance be something in the NPR realm, you know, This American Life, Planet Money. They produce a lot of great content as well. The truth is that since I started making my own podcast, I've actually had less time to listen to other podcasts. I've had, especially because mine is with regard to Vancouver and current issues, I find myself actually listening to more talk radio. And thankfully, that medium is evolving as well, where they put segments on all the podcasting platforms. So usually I'm just catching up with what's happening in the city, in the province, in the country, just as a way to brainstorm for new guests. And something I wanted to say similar to Scott was, it is amazing how once you start getting that traction, you create a pull effect with guests. So, you know, I've been honored to be pitched by a lot of people who I'm like, oh, wow, you've heard of this podcast. But there also are a lot of pitches that I get, particularly from guys in finance and fitness that want to talk to me. And I'm not sure what they want to talk to me about. Like, I guess they just want to talk to me about their life, but that's not really the podcast, right? Like, I talk about issues. I might have a big guest on, but we're talking about a big issue as opposed to like, tell me why you're great.
Right.
So there's a lot of weeding through that during my week. But yeah, I mean, I'm not that interesting. I don't have any hidden gems, unfortunately, with regard to current podcasts.
No, but see, that's why I asked this question, because it usually says so much about the person, because it's not like what's your favorite or what is the high popular one that you listen to. It's what are you listening to right this second? Like, that is the part that really it's an easy question to answer, but can also be extremely difficult. So thank you for answering.
My pleasure.
All right, Scott, what about you? What would play?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of political stuff right now. I mean, The Daily is always in my feed, right? That usually comes up pretty quickly for the New York Times, which I think is just unbelievably well done. But yeah, I also listen to something called Hacks on Tap that pops up pretty frequently, which is David Axelrod, who used to work for Barack Obama, and Mike Murphy, who is a kind of never Trumper type of Republican. It's interesting to hear these guys who've been political activists their whole lives, like analyze politics today, like in how electoral politics are working. There's something I also listen to, which is another like kind of cultural commentary politics thing called, it's from Commentary Magazine, which is called the Commentary Podcast. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that's regularly coming up in my feed I'm looking, they're like news sort of things, or Today Explained from Vox, stuff like that. It's oftentimes, it's where I get a lot of my sort of reflective level news.
Today Explained is a favorite for me too. I like that if I didn't catch something in the news, they usually summarize it within a nice 20 minutes and I'm kind of caught up to speed, especially for American news.
That's wonderful. I love that you both have this connection in the random ones that you are listening to. And I love the idea of a show that can, you know, you're staying up with the news and you're getting that information, but let's be honest, there's so much happening that it's easy to miss things. And being able to have a show that can just be like real quick, real easy, here's what you missed. And then you can go and do the research on something if you need to, or dive deeper into something. That's really great. Wonderful. All right. One last podcast related question. Before the bonus question that comes in the future. But for right now, what is your favorite podcast? And yes, you may have more than one. And why do you love it so much?
Yeah, again, super basic here, probably reverting to my earlier answer. It still is the Joe Rogan Experience. I would agree with Scott that, you know, Howard Stern's probably the best interviewer, but I would put Joe Rogan right up there. I think the way he's able to... There's a lot of technique in what he does, and I don't think he gets enough credit for it. There are certain problematic aspects with who he has on from time to time, but I think his actual skill in breaking down big topics and talking to big guests, there's a lot to learn there. And I still listen, but almost with a new lens now in terms of how he structures interview, where he when he turns it in terms of it's not going anywhere, so he takes it in a new direction, when he sort of puts the gas on his own editorialization, there's a lot of interesting techniques there. And now, instead of as someone who just enjoys it having it in the background, I'm listening to it with a keener sense of how he's actually talking to certain guests and how he changes his styles with certain guests as well. Because that's something that I do quite a bit on my podcast. If I was to have a politician where I have a rapport with them, you know, that's a lot different style than with a stranger that I haven't met yet, a serious, you know, crusty journalist or something,
right.
versus a comedian. Right. And I've had plenty of those on. So there's just a lot to learn for me from him. And that's still probably my absolute favorite.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much okay. So I'll admit I tried listening to Joe Rogan and I just could not.
I hear that a lot, you know. It's a tough one. It's interesting because I think it varies on the episode too. And sometimes it's a hard sell if you just go into it with like going into his like latest episode, right? Like you really have to find the right guest. And again, I think he does a very good job bringing in a guest who you might be unfamiliar with or a topic you might be unfamiliar with and talking about those issues in a way that's accessible. So I understand the knocks on Rogan, but I think in a lot of ways, you know, there's a lot we can learn from him, especially his success. I think mainstream media can learn a lot from his success as well.
Thank you so much for being able to help explain a little bit why people love it so much. I am of the mind that not everything is for everyone, and that is 100% okay. And so thank you too for not going, what? How dare you? How could you not listen to Joe? No. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
The arguments over like preferences, I find are the dumbest arguments. Like, no, yes. I think this is the best. I think this is the best. And it's like, what are we arguing about?
Right. You can love what you love. That's okay.
No, do you find, and when you listen to Rogan, I mean, I feel like there are certain people like Joe Rogan or Howard Stern, maybe even Barbara Walters, that are just naturals, right? I mean, they have intuitively the interview conversational game just in their bones. And then there are people like Terry Gross, who I think is kind of overrated, but she's someone that's just been sort of blocking and tackling. You know, it's like the kind of lanky, awkward kid that learns how to play basketball in Indiana just because they know how to crank out basketball players, right? And I find that some of the – when you compare Rogan to some of these – or Howard Stern or somebody – to some of the, like, polished NPR personalities, you see the distinction because a lot of them, I think, are not intuitively great at this. They've just put their time in, you know? And I'm not saying they're bad, but when you compare it to Rogan, it's just such a different –
it's a different style, different like pushes. And plus, like you said, if somebody is having to learn a skill, it's going to be different than somebody that does it intuitively.
I agree with a lot of what Scott says. I think the key difference is when you have a non-journalist doing these long form interviews, they are working with a much freer medium. Right. So they don't have to be objective. They don't have to adhere to certain rules. And in doing so, they're allowed to show their own emotional range in an interview. And they can say things and they can editorialize here and there. And I think that actually becomes a lot more compelling because that's a conversation as opposed to just a straight up interview where it's like question one, question two, question three. So, I mean, even a guy like Ezra Klein from Vox, who I really, you know, I enjoy his interviews, but he's not in there investing his own emotions in them, whereas Rogan does. And so does Howard Stern, and Dax Shepard is another guy that's sort of come out and does great interviews. One podcast I didn't mention that I really do enjoy as well is Whitney Cummings' Good For You podcast. I'm a big fan of Whitney Cummings, and I like her podcast too. Again, a wide range of guests, but I think it's because the quote-unquote interviewer is able to show more of their own personality and they're not restricted to quote-unquote journalism rules, that it just becomes more compelling listening.
Okay. Yeah, I can see how that could work. I could see how gravitating towards somebody that is able to have the emotions into an interview and into the conversation versus somebody that their style. And I mean, nobody would ever say NPR is relaxed. Like that's not, it's not the show that they produce. And again, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I love that there's so many options out there for people that if somebody wants the very like buttoned up, let's ask the questions, have them answered, no emotion type shows that is provided. Yeah. Yeah. And that's that. I love that. That's wonderful. Thank you for taking the extra time to clarify and help me begin to maybe understand Joe Rogan.
We're going to convert you. We're going to convert you by the end of this podcast. I'll give you a few episodes to start on. We're going to turn you.
All right. I don't know about turning me, but I will definitely give it a try. All right, Scott, your turn to answer. What are your favorite podcasts and why do you love them so much?
And these are really different kinds of podcasts. But one, the thing that I often find myself weeping during is a podcast called Invisibilia. And it's produced by NPR journalists. And it's basically examining the hidden reality of everything that shapes human life. So they'll do stuff on emotion or does clothes make the man or all these. And they usually have these really, or trauma, and they usually have these really compelling stories that are just amazing. So on the narrative score, I find that podcast just so incredibly compelling. On the solo front, I love Dan Carlin, like his Hardcore History podcast and his Common Sense podcast, I think are absolutely brilliant. And he's very hard to peg ideologically and always has fresh things to say. And I wish he put out more content, but you know, he does pretty, especially his history stuff is pretty high production. So he does a lot of research for it and whatnot. And then the other one I love is my friends do what's probably the most popular Jewish podcast, I would guess, in Apple Podcasts or whatever. It's called Unorthodox. And it's three Jewish journalists, one kind of center-right guy and two a center-left gal and a center-left guy. And they have every week they start with news of the Jews. And then they have a Gentile of the week and a Jewish guest of the week. And then they have Mazel Tovs at the end. And I'll tell you, their interviews are great. Their take on the news is great. It's incredibly witty. It moves really quickly. It's just a really good example, too, I think, of a hybrid format, which is hard to do. Like, I once produced a hybrid kind of format show that was like part interview, part roundtable. And I was the host. And it was fun while it lasted, but it was an incredibly difficult thing to do. So when I see that done well, where there's like an interview component and a kind of roundtable discussion component, it's fun and funny. I just think that's an art form. So whether or not you're Jewish or not, it is amazing. There are lots of goyim like me that listen to it and love it.
That's wonderful. I love that they've created a show that surpasses their specific niche, something that allows people a safe place to learn more about a different culture, which allows you to open your eyes into a world that, I mean, I'm sure it would be very difficult for you to just walk into like a Jewish community gathering, be like, hey, I'm here. Tell me all about your world. You know, something tells me that probably wouldn't be accepted very well, especially now in COVID times. But having someone, an easy way for people to learn more things about the world and how people live differently is pretty magical.
I couldn't agree more.
I love that. I love that so much. All right. We are now down to the final question. It's time for the bonus question. Audience, just a reminder, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire. Bonus. And I would also love to hear your answers to my bonus questions. So tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire answer to share your answers to my questions. All right. So this episode's question is, you have done something amazing and the world has created an honorary day held in your honor. What would people have to do to celebrate your day?
I would say that they would have to do yoga at some point during the day.
Oh, interesting.
And the festive drink of the day would be kombucha. And it would be a day where you have to compliment everyone you see.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Okay. So what would you do for people that when they drink kombucha, it makes them vomit? How would you manage that alteration, asking for myself?
Oh, that can be interpreted as like a spiritual purge. So for some people, it's like a cleansing thing where it's like totally smooth. For other people, if you're vomiting, it's just that's your day to purge yourself of all your spiritual toxins.
All right, cool. Good to know. All right, Scott, what would International Scott Day be celebrated? How would it be celebrated?
You'd have to drink like gin martinis and watch West Wing reruns. Yoga. There's no yoga. Yoga's banned on this day. Nothing good for you happens on this day. You're watching West Wing and you're drinking martinis. That's it.
I'm not celebrating this day. I'm sorry.
It's not for everyone.
So clearly these need to be like days right after each other. Like maybe you have the gin martinis and West Wing first, and then you have a day of cleansing and yoga right after. We'll have to.
It's a detox day.
Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. Those are both absolutely perfect answers. Thank you so much for taking the time, effort, and energy to answer all of my random questions and for joining me today, audience. And thank you for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Mo at Van Color, that's with a U. And Scott is at Scott Kent Jones, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much, and I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.